moved here several years ago. It is a land where you can touch the pulse of nature's rhythms in the raw. It is a place where one is able to step back and collect your thoughts, to contemplate, contemplate life and what matters. The privilege to feel the exhilaration of nature's heartbeat demands I have to take risks, just like a wild animal does each day to survive. I found that chronicling the laws of nature as a filmmaker has its rewards here. I guess you could call me a naturalist, and to witness intimately what occurs each day in the wilderness amongst various live organisms eventually opens a door to a perspective of life that few no longer can find, even if they want to. This one-room log cabin I live in here in No Man's Land, Alaska, is only where I spend most of my time. It isn't my home. Home is outside, the environment, this region, this state. The air, water, food, and even the climate here is dependent upon what goes on in faraway places like Paris, Moscow, Beijing, Tokyo, Baghdad. Even Wall Street in New York City has an effect. On clear winter nights, when I step out on the cabin porch, you can see more than just what your eyes witness. To me, the northern lights invite wonder and curiosity and stimulate one to think and question. Tonight, I reflected on a documentary I had just completed on the threats to Alaska's environment. Signs of global warming are everywhere. Polar bears are starving, having to be shot because of it. The native people are protesting the destruction of the Arctic. They talk about the effect on northern wildlife as a result of climate change, and oil development brings everybody in on the fracas. That Alaskan documentary also had made the connection between some pharmaceutical firms being owned by oil companies. And then, the door opens profoundly wide to policies about human health.
Each day,
ANWR would be just as sacrosanct as was Yosemite or Yellowstone.
We are better than this.
We have to invent our way out of this crisis.
But there was one statement in that documentary I will never forget.
It is a scientifically verifiable fact that the Gerson therapy cures cancer as well as almost every other chronic degenerative disease.
Privately, I could not deeply accept that statement from Charlotte Gerson without doing some more research. After a few phone calls, my mind was made up. I had another documentary to do, focusing this time on the cure for cancer and chronic disease. Within a short time, my bags were packed and I was on my way. Just ahead, the road would end, and I would have to take a bush plane to get to a major Alaskan airport. I had no idea what this investigation would uncover as the trip would go along, but I would devote exactly 52 days to make this movie. This film began almost before I was ready, as a passenger seated next to me gave me his perspective about the pharmaceutical industry.
What can tell you more? I have a neighbor, and her father is a well-renowned immunologist. He studies vaccines, he develops vaccines, but his daughter never vaccinates her children. So,
her children?
Yeah.
She won't vaccinate her children?
No.
Why?
Probably she has enough information about vaccines to know better.
The pharmaceutical industry has links with oil companies, but there is much more to it than that, as I was about to find out on this trip. an airport is a good place for a visual reality check of public health. In the United States, 2/3 of Americans are overweight and 20 million of us have diabetes. Half of all Americans take prescription drugs and 100 million of us have high cholesterol. The cancer rate has gone from 1 in 50 in 1900 to almost 1 in 2 at the present time in industrialized countries. Before boarding my connecting flight, there was time to reflect on the history behind Charlotte Gerson's efforts to inform people about her father's incredible success in curing cancer and chronic disease. In Toronto, Ontario, I documented one of her lectures. Charlotte was one of three girls born to Dr. Gerson and his wife, Gretchen. Growing up, Charlotte took a particularly strong interest in her father's ability to heal the hopeless. Earlier, during Dr. Gerson's time as a resident physician in Germany, he suffered from severe migraine headaches. He cured his migraines by changing to a special diet. This diet was then discovered by Gerson to cure skin tuberculosis. Dr. Robert Koch had been studying tuberculosis and in 1905 received the Nobel Prize for his research of the organism. So did Dr. Nils Finsen for a special treatment of the disease. But Dr. Gerson received nothing for actually curing tuberculosis. Basically, Dr. Gerson's cure was and is a special combination of fresh, raw, and cooked organic foods and their juices. Later, Gerson discovered in conjunction with this that organic coffee, taken as a 15-minute retention enema, aided in the restoration of the liver and blood purification. In 1924, a clinical trial of 450 tuberculosis patients was launched with Gerson's treatment. 446 out of the 450 walked away cured. Then, Nobel recipient Dr. Albert Schweitzer asked Gerson to cure him of diabetes, along with his wife's lung tuberculosis and their daughter's rare skin disease, and Gerson did. By the time Gerson escaped Nazi persecution in Germany and fled to the U.S. with his family, he was already curing people with cancer. This profound success caught the attention of Senator Claude Pepper, who held Senate subcommittee hearings with Gerson and some of his patients in July of 1946. The astounding testimony was quickly reported by Raymond Graham Swing via ABC Radio. The public's reaction was swift and favorable, but it also provoked threatening reactions from the medical and drug community, which resulted in Raymond Graham Swing's firing from ABC 2 weeks later, in a stunning display of censorship by commercial interests.
I was investigated 5 times.
What do you mean by being investigated, sir?
From the ME.
They investigated you?
Yes, 5 times. Every time they come, I show them, here the patient you sent home to die, cured. Other patient you sent home to die, cured. Next patient you sent home to die, cured.
What are you going to do to try to get this across so that it will be accepted by the American Medical Association?
First, I write the cancer book. And in that cancer book, I will bring in as many cases as possible sent home to die. So that every physician here in the country can read it. And I will have it translated. The edit, the publishing company will translated in many languages.
I had now flown to San Francisco and thought that who better to discuss Dr. Gerson's historical legacy with than someone from Gerson's very own family. I met Howard Strauss, the grandson of Dr. Gerson and son of Charlotte Gerson. Howard is a scientist, author, and historian whose careful record keeping of Gerson's past serves as an invaluable aid to researchers, scientists, and medical professionals with an open mind. The day I visited with Howard, he reviewed his grandfather's book with me, which outlined the treatment protocol. Howard feels his grandfather's treatment is more desperately needed now by the sick and dying than ever before. And yet, the opposition to this treatment remains relatively steadfast. Howard's personal life has been permanently tied to Dr. Gerson's discoveries.
Nearly 17 years ago, when my wife and I were engaged to be married, she came down with her third occurrence of skin cancer. It was a small lesion about the size of a dime on her ankle, but it was the third time, so it was pretty serious. It was coming back. Rather than do anything other, we went on the Gerson therapy. We went immediately down to the hospital in Mexico. We went on the Gerson therapy. We stayed faithfully on it. And in the middle of the therapy, we got married. That was 16 and a half years ago, and she's been fine ever since.
It seems that any local who is truly sick that runs into Howard has a life-changing experience.
Back in 1978, I thought in very good health, living a very normal life, and my husband discovered a lump in my breast. So we went to a gynecologist, and he sent us to a surgeon. The surgeon did a biopsy. He said, "You have cancer. We will have surgery in 2 days." I got a pamphlet in the mail. I still think it's a miracle, which said that Charlotte Gerson was going to give this lecture for the National Health Federation on cancer. So I said, I might as well go and listen, because that's another way. And I listened to her. Everything she said made sense.
I started to wonder how the critics would react to these testimonies.
After the therapy, we went back to Utah to a specialist on blood, and she said my blood was so clean and clear that she couldn't tell I'd ever had cancer, and she said I was the first patient that ever happened to. And I have two doctor friends that we're very close with, and every time they thought we were doing quackery doing this, and they said every time he sees me, he says, or calls on the phone, he says, "Well, how are you feeling now, Don? As if any day I'm going to fall down dead."
I started to wonder if this is just coincidence. The next lady had had breast cancer.
He did the biopsy, found out it was cancer, called me back in, told me. The doctor explained to me my choices. One was a lumpectomy and the other one was mastectomy. And because of the lumpectomy, just taking a large portion of my breast, I thought that maybe I should just have the mastectomy. And so when I told my husband, he told me that he had a client that his mother knew about nutrition.
Of course, she was talking about Howard and his mother, Charlotte.
The first phone call I got when I started taking the phone calls was my gynecologist. And I was telling him what I was doing. And he told me I was making a big mistake. And he even said he would recommend me to a doctor up in San Francisco or Stanford or someplace, and that he wanted me to go and talk to him. And I said no, you know, that I wouldn't do this. This is what I wanted to do. And you know, it just shocked me and scared me for like 1 second. But then I knew what I was doing was the right thing. The other doctor I went to was just my regular intern. One of them told me I was like committing suicide, and that was 11 years ago.
Prostate cancer had struck this lady's husband, Howard, CPA.
Oh, almost 6 years ago, Howard, when I had that needle biopsy. Uh-huh. And sent the biopsy up to Stanford, and they sent it back and said, "Well, it looks like cancer to us." So I decided, I know what I'm going to do. Gerson therapy for me.
Howard explained to me that even the daughter in this family, who had pleurisy, was healed with Gerson's treatment. All three in one family with different ailments, all cured. All with medical records to prove it. Coincidence? The colors of fruits and vegetables are derived from a variety of chemicals called antioxidants. Only plants produce antioxidants. Antioxidants subdue what's wrong in our bodies. A law of nature Dr. Gerson understood and used. Just outside San Francisco, I was scheduled to interview Dr. Dean Adell, a radio and television personality who reports on health and science issues.
I don't think the Gerson's therapy has ever cured a terminally ill patient. People get very confused by this. This is a world of science, a world of data. I always like to think of it as a courtroom, the courtroom of science and medicine. You don't send somebody to jail or convict somebody without hard, hard evidence. And Gerson has been looked at many, many times. If you think of basically what's in Gerson therapy, you really wouldn't expect it to cure cancer. But sometimes cancer cures itself. There is a rate of cancer, it goes away by itself. Some people didn't really have cancer, it was a misdiagnosis. Sometimes people had chemotherapy many months before and then try, for instance, Gerson therapy, they get better and attribute it to the Gerson therapy or whatever they've done. So no, I don't think there's any evidence that anybody's ever been cured by Gerson therapy.
The problem with the scientific proof is that the allopathic medical world has defined has defined scientific proof so narrowly that the only thing which can be tested using their definition is our drugs. In her final editorial as editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine, Marcia Angel, MD, asked the rhetorical question, is academic medicine for sale? And throughout the article, she answers emphatically yes. The pharmaceutical companies have totally corrupted the institutions, the researchers, and the publications to the point where medical research is literally an advertisement for drugs rather than actual research for the truth. Dr. Gerson published more than 50 publications detailing his therapy and many other subjects in the world's finest medical journals at the time and all over the world, not just in Germany, but all over the world. There were hundreds of other articles by senior medical researchers and esteemed medical scientists confirming his work, also published in the finest medical journals of the time. So if the critics cannot find any publications by Gerson, they need to find a new research assistant for sure. He did publish several papers in the United States right up until he started to submit articles on the subject of cancer. At that point, he was totally and forever banned from publication in the United States.
Dr. Gerson was a German Jew who lost his 7 siblings in the Holocaust. According to his daughter Charlotte, he faced another Holocaust in the United States, witnessing the deaths of untold thousands after his successful treatment was rejected by the medical establishment. Gerson's treatment did not use or need drugs. Essentially, the vegetables and the juices in conjunction with coffee enemas did the trick. Coffee enemas have been scientifically proven to aid the liver in detoxification with the rest of the Gerson protocol. It would seem that our pollution-damaged bodies are in need of this now more than ever.
I'm a coffee drinker, and I drink it. I cannot imagine a cappuccino through your rectum.
We've lived in harmony with nature a long time, but in less than a century, all that has changed. Toxins in our environment are now off the charts, and cancer rates have blasted skyward as well. Fundamentally, does our health really boil down to breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Does the Gerson therapy provide the key to initiating a return to living sustainably on this planet? How can its acceptance be accomplished?
What would it take to convince people and yourself that the Gerson therapy has merit?
That's a simple question, Steve. What would it take to convince me that the Gerson therapy works? A simple double-blind study, follow-up, real data. And of course, we'd all beat a path to Gerson's door and a Gerson clinic's door if it turned out to work. And why people don't do that, I don't know. This is how you convince science. This is how we move forward. This is how we got to where we are today.
I agreed with Dr. Dina Dell to move forward, and so I drove south to Los Angeles after hearing that Charlotte Gerson was giving a lecture at a health convention in Long Beach. When I entered the convention building, I got the feeling that I was about to meet many people who are dissatisfied with the effectiveness of orthodox medicine, that felt smothered, restricted, and force-fed medical propaganda that simply didn't work. Why else would they be here? Which gave rise to another observation. If orthodox treatments for cancer and chronic disease really worked, I would think nobody would want to come to hear Charlotte Gerson talk in the first place. Take this audience member, for example. There were many like him there.
3 years ago, I discovered I had lymphoma cancer. I had the best chemotherapy that there was, and I thought I was cured. 2 years later, the cancer returned at a higher stage. It was stage 4. I then commenced my second set of chemotherapy, but I realized that the prognosis was poor. During the chemotherapy, I did some research. In fact, I spent 3 months of researching, and I found that the Gerson's therapy was my best chance of escaping this cancer. And I then decided to meet Charlotte Gerson I'm from Australia. I flew out just for the weekend to meet with Charlotte and hear her talk and to learn more about my therapy. When the cancer returned for the second time, my spleen was so large it was poking out from just below my ribs. After 5 months of Gerson's therapy, the spleen had reduced back to normal size. And in fact, the oncologist said that I was in total remission.
William's story is profound, but I sense that many people would tune out a testimony like this, like someone who claims they've seen a ghost or listened to some infomercial. But what if William's story, like the people I met earlier, were of hundreds, even thousands of cured people?
We had a wonderful story of a little boy, 8 years old, who was of a group of seven other kids. All of them had Ewing sarcoma. He came to Mexico to the Gerson Clinic, pale, very thin, no hair, bald, and quite sick with pain. He was put on the Gerson therapy, sent home, and the mother reported that within 3 months, the tumor was gone. Not only that, 2 years later, he was a strapping young fellow with lots of hair. He was growing. He was active in school. More important yet, he recovered while the other six children in the group who had received chemotherapy and only chemotherapy were all dead.
If that story was rare, perhaps it would be easier to somehow dismiss. But this is another typical recovery. Charlotte allowed me to stay at her home a little longer and to actually go through the files of 1,500 patients Dr. Gerson was treating and following at the time of his death.
Further, any physician is heartily invited to come to the Mexican hospital and visit and see a patient there or visit with the patients, and with their permission, then they would have access to their medical records.
I remembered what Dr. Dina Dell had said.
What would it take to convince people and yourself that the Gerson therapy has merit?
That's a simple question, Steve. What would it take to convince me that the Gerson therapy works? A simple double-blind study, follow-up, real data. And of course, we'd all beat a path to Gerson's door and a Gerson clinic's door if it turned out to work.
And so I joined Charlotte at the Mexican clinic, witnessed the treatments, met the patients. This man had cancer of the mouth. She had cervical cancer. He had prostate cancer. She had an ascites tumor. The Gerson Clinic is unusual in that the atmosphere there seems more like a royal hotel. I met others that were previous patients. This lady had pancreas cancer and became friends with actor Michael Landon when he was diagnosed with it. She recounted how after he went on network television stating that he was doing the Gerson therapy, his doctors discouraged him from continuing it, whereupon he died. This woman had ovarian cancer. With this lady, it was cervical cancer. And this gal had liver disease. I then met with Dr. Wallace Sampson, clinical professor emeritus at Stanford University, and editor of the Scientific Review of Alternative Medicine. Today he took me for a walk instead of his dog.
Well, the reason we don't like these therapies is, first of all, to give people false hope. And they're rip-offs. You know, there's someone making a big profit off of this kind of activity, and that's just morally wrong, ethically wrong. It's not right from any aspect at all.
Well, has the Gerson therapy ever cured a cancer patient?
Oh, of course not. They won't even release their records. They published one paper on something called melanoma, skin cancer, but they selected the cases they reported. They didn't report everything that happened. They don't keep that kind of a record on all patients, so they have nothing to show us. And yet they keep on making the same claims that they made in the 1920s when Dr. Gerson first came over here from Germany, 1930s. But he was doing this for tuberculosis and other diseases also.
What would it take for you to be convinced or even persuaded a slight bit that this therapy has credibility?
Well, first of all, they have to show some reason why it should work. We know how cancers behave, and we know the kinds of things that cause cancer. So they have to come up with some kind of a believable theory of why their diet should work. But second of all, they'd have to convince us that everything we know about it in the past 50 years is wrong. And they're right. Now, how are they going to come up with material like that? That's impossible. They don't have it. So we're left with nothing with that outfit.
What do they charge?
I've heard as much as $15,000 up front for a week, for the first few days, and they'll charge as much until you go broke, and then they'll send you home.
Have you ever met any of their patients that claim that they're recovered?
No, never met one. Mostly they die. Either that or they don't have cancer in the first place, or they have a very low-grade cancer and they would have lived no matter what they did.
I knew Dr. Sampson had exaggerated the cost at the clinic by a factor of 5. So now what could I believe?
So each cancer is going to have to have its characteristics determined, individually probably, and a tailored treatment developed by the oncologists. Now we're talking real medicine here. We're not talking alternative medicine. We're talking real medicine. This is how it's going to be. Alternative medicine, there really is no such thing. Few people know this, but the word alternative and the whole concept of alternative medicine is only 20 or 30 years old. Someone invented it. They invented it as a marketing slogan. There is no such thing as alternative medicine. It's just a series of unproven, disproven, and implausible kinds of proposals made for commercial purposes. They're selling you a bill of goods.
A few other questions came to mind.
Your son works for the American Cancer Society. What does he think of therapy such as the Gerson therapy?
Well, he knows the same things that we know, that I know. The American Cancer Society used to be very active in exposing these kinds of things, but more recently they've backed off because of the public relations aspect. There's so many political powerhouses and rich people who are in back of these implausible proposals that in order to keep their contributions coming, they can't be too opposed to some of these things.
Like the Gerson therapy.
Yeah, well, they're opposed to it, but they don't put nearly the amount of publicity into their opposition that they used to.
What is the answer to cancer? In the future, what do you think it'll be?
Well, it'll be a combination of finding out what the molecular basis is. In other words, there are certain molecules that are made by the body that stimulate growth, and certain other genes that code for the behavior of cells. And we'll figure that out, and then we'll combat them with drugs.
Dr. Gerson treated the sick human organism in its totality. He was inducted into the Orthomolecular Hall of Fame just last year, almost 50 years after his death. Considering that both Dr. Dina Dell and Dr. Wallace Sampson stated that no one has ever been cured of anything on the Gerson therapy, I visited the Gerson Institute and found over 100 more patients on file. I selected 2 at random and requested interviews.
The day that my oncologist gave me 3 to 6 months to live, I had to go home and tell my children. That was the first thing on my mind to tell them. And I was devastated. My husband had to practically carry me out of the office. I went home and I told them. I had 2 teenagers there. And my daughter was 17. She was in her senior year of high school. And she cried. She told me, "Mom, you're supposed to be there when I get married, when I have my first baby." And my son, he just went silent. I had 2 big tumors on my liver, and I stayed there for 2 weeks. After the first week, I started feeling better. I started gaining weight. I had hope. And after 2 weeks there, I went home. But 10 months on the diet, I had my first scan, my CT scan, and it was clear.
I wondered if it was possible this was a made-up story, that she was lying.
I attended a cancer support group at a church that we went to. And during that time, I was the only one that was doing alternative therapies. Everyone else was doing conventional. And I watched each and every one of them die.
She then gave me her official diagnosis.
As I would see my oncologist, he expected me to die. He gave me 3 to 6 months to live. And as I did the Gerson therapy, I wasn't dying. I was getting better. I was looking much better, feeling better. And he would ask me from time to time each what I was doing. I would try to tell him about the juicing, yet he didn't want to hear it.
Then came the other patient with testicular cancer.
When I spoke with the oncologist about this Gerson therapy, he looked at me and he said that was probably going to be a mistake because the chemotherapy was going to help me and not any other treatment. Yes, and after I had gone back to the oncologist after I had done the
Gerson therapy for a couple months. At that time when they had found that I was cured of cancer from the CT scan that they had done on my abdomen, he couldn't believe it. He thought it was a miracle. He had no explanation for it, and he was just amazed. My last appointment with my oncologist was approximately 10 years ago.
The gentleman that had the testicular cancer was actually a doctor himself. I was amazed how easy it was to get patients to come forward. I did not pay them to speak. As they left the Gerson Institute, I noticed a framed letter on the wall. A closer look revealed it was from Prince Charles' office. Prince Charles has demonstrated a profound interest in Gerson's work after seeing a patient with terminal cancer that was sent home to die recover.
Doctors often bring up the argument against the Gerson therapy that it is an unproven cancer treatment. And my question is, what does unproven mean? You see, you cannot prove this therapy the same way as you prove a new drug. What I have in mind is the double-blind randomized clinical trial, which is great if you want to test one new drug. How do you apply this to a therapy that is a total lifestyle?
Charlotte Gerson had two children, Howard, whom I met earlier, and Peggy, who lives in Italy with her husband and daughter, Etta.
Dr. Gerson's therapy was and is in complete unity with sustaining the environment. They're intertwined. Dr. Gerson observed and proved that the natural world is our external metabolism.
I cannot understand why my great-grandfather's gift is kept from suffering people on purpose.
In Holland, I learned of a doctor who had been treating his patients with Gerson successfully for over 16 years. I met with him and his wife at the local organic food store, where we became acquainted. As we walked along, he invited me to meet the rest of his family. His name is Dr. Wilco van der Vecht, and I was quite impressed that his young son and 15-year-old daughter already understood and enjoyed a lifestyle that will profoundly affect the rest of their lives. Undoubtedly, they had witnessed at a young age the healing of their father's patients. I had never seen a young child look forward to and register such enjoyment in a glass of fresh-pressed carrot and apple juice like Wilco's son.
Ik heb Danny hier verdorst heeft. Ik heb een groot nieuwe.
Oh, hey Dan, heb je zo'n honger? Is lekker, jongen.
Dr. van der Vecht brought me to his office, where he pulled out drawer after drawer of detailed files of patients treated with the Gerson therapy successfully. But why is this doctor implementing this therapy to his patients? Part of the reason is that his uncle in Switzerland suffered from cancer and had a tumor on his right shoulder that literally rotted away on the therapy.
I would say 75% of my patients would react on the Gerson therapy favorably.
Within minutes of my request to meet a patient of Wilco's, a lady arrived that recovered from a number of ailments. She described a recovery that stunned her regular doctor, and he could not understand how this amazing transformation had taken place, and could only surmise that it must have been the prednisone he prescribed once.
Treating cancer patients with alternative therapies is very difficult, and a few doctors have had process from the authorities, and it's very difficult to treat them with alternative medicine. It's like a kind of quackery to treat these patients.
Why is it so forbidden, you think?
Well, they fear that many people want to do or want to have treatments on a natural way. And I think there's a lot of pressure from the pharmaceutical industries, and they treat all the patients with chemotherapy and radiation. And when they see that food plays an important role in the treatment of cancer, they fear they will lose control of the popularity of the people. In Spain, I got four or five colleagues who join me in the clinic to help me to do the therapy, and we have nothing to fear in Spain.
Amidst 2,000-year-old Roman ruins high on a bluff just outside the village of Ronda on the southern tip of Spain, Wilco pointed out to me in the undulating valley below his new Gerson clinic now being prepared to open within the next year. Dr. Vandervex drove me to this facility before renovations begin. His current caretaker, who previously owned the property, took me on a tour of the grounds.
Well, I'm now from here, I should say about 60, 70 kilometers to Marbella. Oh, the land is quite fertile. I mean, the land is not wood, you know, it's not forest.
Perhaps someday, somebody I know may come here to reclaim their life. When I landed back in the United States, I looked off in the distance at an icon that gave me hope. And on this wintry New York day, I had a chance to visit two special landmarks. En route to those locations, I was able to experience what the locals busy themselves with each day. And it was also memorable to discuss how these folks view someone with a camera trying to make a documentary. The first landmark I found was Sloan Kettering Hospital. This section of the hospital was new, but on the backside was the older part of the building, built when Dr. Gerson lived in New York. Nobody at Sloan Kettering would talk with me, and for good reason, I suppose. The founder of it was Dr. Cornelius P. Rhodes, a physician who despised everything Dr. Gerson stood for and called Gerson, quote, a notable quack. As someone said to me, more people make a living off cancer than die from it. Then I found the second landmark on Park Avenue. At 815 Park Avenue, I met up with Dr. Carolyn Dean, a medical doctor.
This is where Dr. Gerson was up until the day of his death, where he had a clinic, where he saw patients, where patients recovered from cancer, where he documented so many recoveries, yet those recoveries are not available to the public. Those published articles have been published in Europe, but have not been allowed to be published in American journals.
Why?
The reason for that is the fact that it's not a patented medicine and it's not an expensive medicine. I mean, this is the crux of the matter. This is a natural therapy that allows people to take control of their own health and not require drug interventions, and therefore it doesn't fit into the medical scientific model of American medicine.
Dr. Dean is a health activist that gave me a new perspective.
C.P. Rhodes founded Sloan Kettering, and he did it on the scientific model. He wanted to make cancer research very scientific. However, the scientific model only tests for one variable at a time. Gerson therapy uses hundreds of variables. Therefore, science is not equipped to test the Gerson therapy.
How many people are dying in the hospitals every year because of hospitals like this?
In a paper I wrote called Death by Medicine, that then I expanded into Death by Modern Medicine, I found that 784,000 people are dying annually, prematurely, due to modern medicine. And these are statistics from peer-reviewed journals and government databases. I see the Gerson therapy as the antidote to our chemically damaged bodies and environment.
And then I met Dr. Stephen Barrett, who is highly regarded by the medical establishment as an authority on health fraud.
I don't believe there's any evidence that any diet will affect the course of any cancer. Take the Gerson therapy, for example. Gerson was a physician who claimed that he could cure cancer with diet and a number of other methods. There's absolutely no scientific evidence that he's cured anyone.
Dr. Barrett is also an author, and his work is widely distributed to colleges and universities.
There are testimonials. There are some people who've been tricked into thinking that it worked for them. But some of them may not have had cancer. Some of them were not adequately studied. The Gerson Clinic has not had any systematic follow-up. It's all smoke and mirrors. The Gerson therapy is not a large part of the marketplace anymore. There are actually hundreds of places that offer treatment. Gerson is of historical interest because he was one of the big names in cancer quackery. We collect information from the internet, from clinic literature, from patients. We get patient stories. We see what the proponents of the various methods write. We look at the claims, we try to see if they make sense. We get all sorts of information and try to put it together.
Have you ever interviewed any of the Gerson therapy patients that claim they've been recovered?
I've never interviewed any Gerson patients. It really is pointless because you can't tell from an interview what took place. I've looked at a few patients treated by other doctors.
A few patients treated by other doctors, but not doctors practicing the Gerson method. Dr. Stephen Barrett had no substantive experience with Dr. Gerson at all, yet his disparaging cartoons in his books lumped the Gerson therapy with the, quote, other quacks. I listened very carefully to Dr. Stephen Barrett's continued declarations. He kindly autographed one of his books for me as a gift. In the evening at Dutchess Community College in Poughkeepsie, New York, I had an opportunity to listen to a man who's considered, quote, the world's foremost authority on nutrition, unquote, Dr. T. Colin Campbell, Professor Emeritus of Nutritional Biochemistry at Cornell University and author. His lecture paralleled and confirmed the Gerson therapy to the letter. The audience was riveted to every word. I had a chance to speak with Dr. Campbell after the lecture.
I know something about the Gerson Clinic, especially its effect on treatment of disease, and more specifically on with respect to melanoma. They published a study on the effect of their treatment on the ability to keep melanoma in check, and I was very impressed with that because it showed a really substantial effect of the ability of a plant-based diet to keep melanoma from progressing forward. Dr. Gerson has, in fact, been considered a quack in the so-called professional research community, and I know something about that because I was the chair of a committee one time when we had to look at these kind of issues. That was the opinion of the professional community, and unfortunately, in my view, they were wrong.
I asked Dr. Campbell his thoughts about critics of Dr. Gerson who dismissed the therapy outright, and what is the motivation?
I've known of Stephen Barrett's work for many years. He and some of his colleagues have been taking that approach and supposedly identifying, you know, who are quacks and who are not. I really strongly disagree with his opinions. For one thing, it's very McCarthyist, you know, in a sense that somehow he and others can decide, you know, what's quack and what's not. In earlier days, for example, that group, including Stephen Barrett, took a strong stand against dietary recommendations to consume more vegetables and fruits and grains. They got involved with the American Council on Science and Health, to be specific. And the American Council on Science and Health is basically an organization that's supported largely by industry. They're looking out for industrial interest. And so they don't like what I say, obviously. And they formed some other groups, too, of a similar ilk. If I or some member of my family were diagnosed with cancer, what I would do is not what is traditionally done. I would not go the route of using drugs. Instead, I would use a plant-based diet, maybe enrich it with some other materials that is particularly rich in some of the good qualities of plant-based foods, and make sure you get enough water, exercise, sunshine, and I would just let nature take its course. Probably not more than 60 or 70% of all physicians actually get trained in nutrition at all, and the amount of nutrition or training they get is one course at the most.
I now began a journey west and crossed the rolling farmland of Pennsylvania. It is no secret that the land and soil is depleted of nutrients and laden with harsh chemicals to keep the crops even viable. Dr. Gerson called the soil our external metabolism. And without fertile organic soil, our food cannot sustain us. Now I remembered why I started this journey.
It is a scientifically verifiable fact that the Gerson therapy cures cancer as well as almost every other chronic degenerative disease.
Was this statement ringing true? I needed more evidence. I wondered if a clue could be found here.
No matter what our walk in life is, eating is a common thread to everyone. Unfortunately, only about 2%, less than 2% of the individuals in this country know where their food comes from, since we've gotten away from our agrarian roots. And they have little understanding in how the food is produced, what chemicals are put on the ground to produce the food, and what the environmental impacts are because of the practices used to produce that food.
Dr. Paul R. Hepperly, research manager at the Rodale Institute, is continually doing scientific analysis, soil and crop testing, and relaying these findings to the government. He gave me a crash course of the basics of soil management and the comparisons between organic farming practices and conventional farming methods. The Rodale Institute's scientific landmark studies made my head spin, and the published findings are now gaining momentum in the agricultural community. The negative impacts of conventional farming practices, including genetically modified foods, turn my stomach inside out. It has now become a race against time, for the cumulative negative impacts of conventional farming has diminished the soil appreciably, to the point of clearly becoming a leading factor as to how healthy we are as a society, our moods, our weight, even our personal relationships, as well as crime, drug addiction, and mental illness, can be traced right back to what Dr. Gerson called our external metabolism.
Steve, you know, you asked me whether these chemicals that are in agriculture are poisoning us, and I believe that that definitely is the truth. We're getting poisoned, and this also correlates with the increasing cancer rates. The epidemics in degenerative disease are very much associated with environmental problems that we're experiencing, and I think it's no accident that this is happening in this way. Dr. Max Gerson was one of the most intuitive minds in the medical field that we've had in my lifetime, and I believe that actually if we had gone to the nutritional model for disease rather than the chemical germicide type of model, that we wouldn't be in the sad state of health that we're in presently.
I was referred to another expert on nutrition.
Why was the American Medical Association so opposed to the Gerson therapy? I think all the medical associations were opposed to the Gerson therapy. Here comes a new approach, a nutritional approach, an effective approach. The medical pharmaceutical industry, if it even wants a cure for cancer, since there's so much profit in this disease, certainly does not want the cure to be a nutritional one.
I was beginning to wonder how many of the public know this.
If the Gerson therapy were permitted inside the United States, and I believe that it should be, we would see a dramatic decrease in deaths from cancer. I would estimate the fatality rate would go down by at least 50%, very possibly more so. The Gerson therapy is especially helpful in cases of malignant melanoma and other types of cancer that are generally considered to be very dangerous, very aggressive.
After I left Dr. Saul's office, it was here, on the endless toll roads and highways, as I headed west, that the impact of his words started to sink in.
What would happen to the pharmaceutical industry? Oh, they'll be fine. I think that a $500 billion worldwide industry will manage to find other diseases that it can market drugs for. You have only to look on the television to see how hard they try. But there are no drugs with the Gerson therapy. It's all based on nature. It's all based on common sense. It's all based on nutrition, detoxification, and metabolic therapy. It makes so much sense that it doesn't make very many dollars. I raised my children on a natural foods diet, vitamin supplements, and they never, not once, had a dose, not one dose, of any antibiotic. Do kids get sick? Sure. Do they need drugs to get better? No. Did we have a pediatrician? Of course. Did we go? Didn't have to.
By the time I got to the Ohio border, I thought back to my first interview for this film as I left Alaska.
I have a neighbor, and her father is a well-renowned immunologist. He studies vaccines, he develops vaccines, but his daughter never vaccinates her children. So,
her children?
Yeah.
She won't vaccinate her children?
No, no.
Why?
Probably she has enough information about vaccines to know better.
By the time I hit Cleveland, another piece of the puzzle fell into place. The Cleveland Clinic is world-renowned and visited by the rich and famous for coronary heart disease. It is here that research by noted heart specialist Dr. Caldwell Esselstein confirmed what his own peers do not even want to talk about. He was trained as a surgeon in Cleveland and London and awarded the Bronze Star in Vietnam.
Some of the basic pathophysiology of heart disease. It's been my conviction now for about 20, 21 years that coronary artery heart disease, which is really one of our number one cause of death for men and women in Western civilization, really this is a disease that need never, ever exist. And if it does exist, it need never, ever progress. And now if we just try to visualize at the moment a plaque or the disease which sort of deposits inside the
Dr. Esselstein's independent discovery to resolving heart disease is almost identical to Gerson's.
What is happening? What seems to happen is rapidly when you make complete metabolic changes due to this plant-based nutrition, you restore the capacity of the endothelial cell, the inner lining of the artery, that metabolic dynamo. That endothelial cell has its capacity restored to manufacture nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is the strongest dilator of blood vessels that the body makes. And it is so powerful that when somebody has angina, instead of getting this vasoconstriction with nitric oxide, the vessel will dilate. With dilatation, there is a much greater increase in flow and the symptoms of angina will disappear. And obviously, as that continues with the passage of time, unlike bypasses and stents where the benefits erode, the benefits will endure and continue to improve.
In one of his published papers, he challenges the established U.S. government food pyramid formed essentially by special interest groups, including candy makers. But his findings are unmistakable.
Here is a gentleman with his right coronary artery with a 30% improvement from this pinched area here to this area over here where it is now completely resolved. That is measured as a 30% improvement. This was another surgeon, actually, who had a heart attack. And you can see alongside the bracket here on the left, this long moth-eaten injured area, which was too far gone for stenting and too far down the artery for a bypass. But with plant-based nutrition, he profoundly altered his blood cholesterol. And with plant-based nutrition, as you can see, within 30 months, he had completely restored the opening of this vessel. We did another study, and here, what you see is on the left.
Dr. Esselstein's proof, like Gerson's, of the cure for chronic diseases by utilizing nutrition has been met with almost complete denial by his own peers. When I got to Loveland, Ohio, I was about to meet a very special patient. A patient, I guess, that could be called a liar, because I was able to remember who I had spoke to earlier.
No, I don't think there's any evidence that anybody's ever been cured by Gerson therapy.
Well, has Gerson therapy ever cured a cancer patient?
Well, of course not. They won't even release their records.
I've never interviewed any Gerson patients. It really is pointless because you can't tell from an interview what took place.
I don't know how many years ago it is. It's around 50 years ago. What am I supposed to tell you?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, and then go ahead.
Mary and I were a young married couple, and we had three children. And I got this trouble in my abdomen. We went to the doctor, and they said I had cancer of the lymph system. They called it lymphosarcoma. And they told my wife and I that I really had only a month or two to live. Well, my wife is no easy loser. So she scoured around and looked in Prevention magazine and discovered the name of Dr. Max Gerson. Well, I was very impressed with his integrity in the sense that he said, I cannot promise you anything, but I'm going to try my best to help you. And he also impressed me with his sense of kindness and caring about us traveling from Ohio with our young children to be there. In those days, I had a lot of friends who were praying for me that I would survive, not having a whole lot of confidence that I would. And most of them now have gone to their reward, and here I am.
This 88-year-old patient, treated by Dr. Gerson himself, was case number 18 in Dr. Gerson's classic book.
I've earned my living as a professional artist and designer, and it's a very hard thing to do, as you probably know, but I've been able to do it. It seems to me, Steve, there's a parallel between Dr. Max Gerson and Mother Teresa in the sense that they both spent their lives caring for other people.
At that moment, I thought back to what Dr. Stephen Barrett had said.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
Driving away, I thought back to what Dr. T. Colin Campbell observed.
I've known of Stephen Barrett's work for many years. He and some of his colleagues, they're looking after industrial interest. And so they don't like what I say, obviously.
My suspicions about industrial power against freedom of information and health choices grew ever stronger when I requested interviews with medical doctors and medical students about the Gerson therapy. Some medical doctors were afraid to speak about it for fear of jeopardizing their livelihoods. Medical students were afraid to speak for fear of repercussions. Even the American Cancer Society refused to talk.
I've had calls for 24 years from women that have breast cancer. I think somehow my name got on the internet as a survivor of breast cancer. So women that get in trouble call me, and they're just happy to hear me say hello because they know I'm still around. For the 10 years following being on the Gerson therapy, which took a year and a half, I started going back to the Mayo Clinic and seeing Dr. Scutt, who was an oncologist there, just for checkups to be sure I was clear. And he said everything was like an 18-year-old again. My blood profile was perfect, and he couldn't believe how I looked and how much energy I had, and he asked me what I'd done, and I went over the Gerson therapy with him. Dr. Scutt said, that's great, but he said that we can't sell that.
I learned here that if my own son, who helped shoot this movie, got cancer, I'd be thrown in jail for child abuse if I wanted to treat him with the Gerson therapy.
She's a survivor, and so am I. I survived the Battle of Bastogne in World War II. In history books, it's a pretty important battle. It was a turning point in the winning or losing of World War II. So we're both survivors as far as that goes, but hers is more important.
Here in Minnesota happens to be the farm where I grew up and my parents still reside. I had not been back here for a few years, and to see my mother and father again triggered a rush of feelings and memories. I found also that my mother, she looked healthier than I recall, and she went down a list of ailments that no longer existed since she heard about the Gerson therapy from me and put it into practice. But the real bit of hard evidence that was testament to its efficacy, perhaps, came from my father, who was a farmer his entire life. He was still raising a few beef cattle, but no longer ate meat himself after seeing how the health of my mother improved, and then his own health when he, too, followed the same principles. I was excited to visit many people who I remembered, loved, and admired, but was too late for many of them. It was at this place that I was impacted as to how devastating the withholding of true medical information really is. One after the other had passed on from cancer, heart attacks, and strokes well before their time. None of them had ever heard about Dr. Gerson, and despite their earthly wealth, it was that lack of information that resulted in these wonderful role models for me to pay the ultimate price. They were dying to know the truth. I had given exactly 52 days to make this movie. Time was running out. It was day 40 of this journey since leaving Alaska to investigate Gerson's cancer and disease cure. But in a motel room in Great Falls, Montana, something changed for me about this story. It happened while reading the daily paper about the deaths of well-known people from cancer, not to mention people that have trouble with being overweight. If cancer is cured on the Gerson therapy, so is virtually everything else, including the problem of concern about body fat. Virtually everything clears. Another clue to that deduction was 120 miles away in the middle of Montana's wide open ranching country. It was here that I met a cattle farmer and his family, and an insightful story about finding Dr. Gerson's old book, which changed the course of their lives. This time, it was not cancer that came as an uninvited guest, but multiple sclerosis. The man that's walking on the left, John, was destined for life in a wheelchair and was diagnosed by his doctor with MS. Refusing drugs and conventional treatment, his wife followed the directions in Dr. Gerson's book and became John's caregiver and source of inspiration. Day in and day out, starting in 1995, John's wife believed she could bring her husband back by caring for him with the directions in Gerson's book. I started to think back at the countless recovered patients I had now met and read about and documented on this trip. It was a moment of introspection, and day 42 of this journey.
The Gerson therapy was known some 75 years ago. If doctors know there's a cure and send patients home to die, that is an atrocity worse than the Holocaust.
What would it take for you to be convinced or even persuaded a slight bit that this therapy is has credibility?
Well, first of all, I have to show some reason why it should work. We know how cancers behave, and we know the kinds of things that cause cancer. So they have to come up with some kind of a believable theory of why their diet should work. But second of all, they'd have to convince us that everything we know about it in the past 50 years is wrong. And they're right.
Has been published, it has been confirmed it has been duplicated by other medical scientists, and they themselves have published confirming articles. I was trained at MIT as a scientist, and to me, that's scientific proof. Publication, replication, confirmation articles published in the scientific literature. That all exists.
It is a scientifically verifiable fact that the Gerson therapy cures cancer as well as almost every other chronic degenerative disease.
I don't believe there's any proof that the Gerson therapy works. In other words, Charlotte Gerson was lying.
No, I don't think there's any evidence that anybody's ever been cured by Gerson therapy. This is a world of science, a world of data. I always like to think of it as a courtroom, the courtroom of science and medicine.
If this was the courtroom of science and medicine, what would be the verdict? What if I suddenly had amnesia and forgot all the evidence gathered so far and had to use one single experience? I decided to take that test. On the 15th floor of a hotel room in Tokyo, I studied a published paper by a renowned Japanese surgeon and researched as much information as I could find about the Japanese medical community and their experiences with Dr. Gerson's work, if any. It was now day 45, and I would give myself 5 days to research and verify Dr. Gerson's claims using the scientific modality of replication, confirmation, and publication. I figured that if I gave myself only 5 days to prove or disprove Gerson's therapy, that would be a reasonable amount of time for even the most hardened skeptic from some other cancer research organization or medical branch to at least look into what Dr. Gerson had done. If a skeptic would be unwilling to spend even that short amount of time, I would have to then conclude that there is definitely a closed-mindedness and a bias that is bigger than Texas and Alaska combined. First, I took the bullet train from Tokyo to a nearby town called Fukushima, where I was scheduled to meet two doctors who study cancer and are meticulous in their record keeping. It is here at the Loma Linda Clinic that a precedent was set 16 years ago when one of these doctors developed cancer himself, colon cancer that metastasized to his liver, and by accident found Dr. Gerson's book. Trying to be as cynical and skeptical as possible, like the CEO of some drug company, I look forward to hearing and seeing the evidence in the courtroom of blind justice.
My name is Dr. Yoshihiko Hoshino. About 16 years ago, I was suffered from colon cancer. I changed to Gerson therapy. And over these 16 years, I continued to take a Gerson therapy. The metastatic liver cancer disappeared. I underwent ultrasound echo examination, and at that examination, there is no metastatic liver cancer in the liver over these 15 years. Over 500 patients with cancer visited here, Loma Linda Clinic. At first, we'd like to try to statistical analysis.
This statistical analysis is already well underway on these 500 cancer patients treated with the Gerson therapy, and well over half of them are cured or recovering. The scientific tracking and data is over a period of years and continues. While I was doing this interview, one of the patients came to visit and get updated on his condition of prostate cancer. The doctors and this private patient agreed to leave the doors open, allowing me to scrutinize and question with my cameras. Dr. Tominaga was explained to this patient via data and x-rays how his prostate cancer had spread to the bones of his spine. But after the Gerson therapy, his cancer is completely gone. It is difficult for me to express how I felt to see this amazing sample of success. I was elated and frustrated at the same time. Happy for him because he had found doctors that are free to practice the true medicine. Frustrated because in many other countries, this is denied and people pay with their lives. It affects us all profoundly, whether we have cancer or not. I was now outside the prestigious Otsuka Hospital in Tokyo. I was scheduled to have a private meeting with the associate director of this hospital, who was so impressed with the success of Dr. Hoshino and Dr. Tominaga's use of the Gerson therapy that he decided to implement the therapy himself on his own patients. His name is Dr. Takaho Watayo.
I am looking for the treatment of advanced cancer patient. Then I found Gerson therapy, like Japanese Professor Koda's method. And I am very much surprised about the result.
Magnificent, he says. Dr. Takaho Watayo is one of the most eminent and respected surgeons in Japan, and he unabashedly took me on his rounds at the hospital. At this moment, we were looking at a scan just completed of one of his cancer patients on the Gerson therapy. Dr. Watayo pointed out on the eye of the computer monitor the ongoing shrinking and disappearance of tumors in this particular patient at the moment. There were other floors at the hospital that Dr. Watayo took me to, where intense laboratory and scientific scrutiny of the Gerson therapy takes place every day.
I tried to Gerson therapy on 50 patients. These are tables.
These tables of the 50 patients Dr. Watayo is tracking verify cures and recoveries over a period of years. On one floor, the making of Gerson juices is being studied and administered to patients and even the staff. I followed Dr. Watayo into his private office, where it was evident that he was very proud of certain parts of his history and accomplishments. He respects and admires many of his peers that brought him to where he is today. Some of them were Americans.
I respect Dr. Max Gerson so much, and I hope I could meet the family of Max Gerson. That dream came true last September.
Above the Japan Press Club in downtown Tokyo, Dr. Watayu invited me to an exclusive restaurant where he introduced me to two of the recovered patients of his on the Gerson therapy. Dr. Watayu made special effort to show documentation of the cures from both patients. The second patient was actually the owner of the restaurant, who had originally four different kinds of cancers. Word of the Gerson therapy is now swiftly spreading across Japan. Astute businessmen see this as well. I met with two who were involved in opening up yet another Gerson hospital within a month. I listened to their perspective about why they think opening another hospital is important.
Well, in Japan, such a small country has a problem for environmentally, and also the lots of chemicals in our life. And the Gerson therapy is the to avoid all the chemicals and have organic vegetables and coffee enema is really important for our life.
These businessmen have arranged a number of doctors to be on staff at the new hospital. I noticed the pictures on the wall and the book, so I relayed some information I learned from Charlotte about the therapy.
Dr. Gerson had very little to do with chemotherapy. It wasn't used in his day. Of course, nowadays, we see quite a number of patients that come in who have had chemotherapy. However, we see especially excellent results in melanoma, and believe that one of the reasons may be that melanoma is not being treated with chemo. It doesn't work for chemo.
I could tell that Dr. Gerson's work was warmly received in Japan. And even though I can't understand Japanese, my interpreter reassured me that the other businessman was happy too. It was time for me to return home, and it was here that the memories of Dr. Gerson returned.
What are you going to do? You don't look like the type of man that's going to give up at this point.
No. How could I give up, says, when I see these wonderful results? That's impossible. First, I write the cancer book, and I will have it translated in many languages. The treatment will there, in that book, be described.
On the way home to Alaska, I thought about what I had discovered. Am I biased? Of course. But I was willing to put the Gerson therapy to the test. And now, I would ask the same from the critics who despise the man who Nobel laureate Dr. Albert Schweitzer called the most eminent genius in medical history. In the end, the film was completed in precisely 52 days, and I didn't know what the verdict would be. But since it confirmed what I suspected, the 52 days brought us precisely to one day before Charlotte Gerson's 84th birthday. The messages of early spring were everywhere, and with each passing day now, signs of new life intensified. I took the courting call of the rough grouse to be the metaphor for our brightening future, underscoring that life will find a way. For each of us eventually, whether we're ready or not, someday it will come to an end. There will be no more sunrises, no minutes, hours, or days. All the things you collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. Your wealth, fame, and temporal power will shrivel to irrelevance. It will not matter what you owned or owed. Your grudges, resentments, frustrations, and jealousies will finally disappear. So too your hopes, ambitions, plans, and to-do lists will expire. The wins and losses that once seemed so important will fade away. It won't matter where you came from or on what side of the tracks you lived at the end. It won't matter if you're beautiful or brilliant, Even your gender and skin color will be irrelevant. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, courage, or sacrifice that enriched, empowered, or encouraged others to emulate your example. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you're gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories that live in those who loved you. What will matter is how long you will be remembered, by whom and for what. A life lived that matters is not of circumstance, but of choice.